I need a roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Kraft.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
Greg Mattingly. Greg Mattingly. Jim Gresham.
Here.
Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
Elena Buckner.
Here.
We have 6 of 7 quorum present.
Thank you. At this time, I just want to open up a general discussion on how we want to proceed with next year's budget as we're going in, coming into the season. My thought process is you can ask for something because we know we're down, what was it, Carol, 18.8% this last month alone, or 19.8? Yeah, just shy of 20% on the revenue side. We made some cuts bimonthly up to this point, but does it offset total loss?
No, I can address that.
Okay.
I put together a few things. This is Carol. I put together a few things that may help. And for those of you on the phone call, I emailed those to you about a half hour to 45 minutes ago. So I'm just going to pass these out real quick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyway, these are just sheets which kind of help us through the process a little bit maybe. The first one is the 2020 budget, which is the total everybody's budget, general fund through the rest of them, and it just gives you an idea of what we approved back in last October. The second sheet is the general fund, which is kind of the one that we have a lot of discussions on and a lot of activity in, and that again is the budget from last year's approved budget. But then the third sheet is the one that may open up some discussion items. I took the expenses from last year's budget, the 20 budget, and just said, okay, what if we want to reduce expenses by 1%, 2%, up to 4%? Here's how much it would be. And so that one has the total of the cuts on it. Just to summarize, if we were to reduce the general fund expense budgets by 4%, it would save $717,000. If we reduce it by 3%, $538,000, 2% would be $358,000, and 1%, $179,000. So those are just some general ballpark things that may help. As far as the sales tax goes, March was the first month we felt the pinch from COVID. We received 93% of what we normally get that month, and then in April, 82%. In May, 81%, 81.2%. And June, through the end of the year, we estimate it's going to go up. June, I've got 85% in there, and then kind of rising to hit 90% by November. So, again, that's just a guess for me. But if that is the case, if that does happen in that respect, the total sales tax that we lost for the year FY20 would be about $300,000. So it's still in the ballpark that we kind of originally estimated. So we'll be about $300,000 down. And income tax is anybody's guess. We still haven't gotten the number for last month that we usually get by now. So they're running a little bit behind on that. But again, income tax is due July 15th now, and so I know some of that money didn't come in when it should have. So maybe we'll know more in August when we get July numbers. But as far as other things, clerk fees, just other county fees that we get are down some. Not all of them are down, like recorder's office, their fees are up. But some of the other ones, if the office has been closed for a while, the fees are down a little, but not a lot. I mean, nothing that we probably can't eventually recover from. So those are just some of my observations that I wanted to pass on. So is there any questions?
That does help. Thank you.
Okay.
But on page one,
mm-hmm.
we show a $708,000 negative balance on the general expenses versus revenue.
Uh-huh. That was the original approved budget showed a deficit of $708,000.
And that kind of goes back to, Kevin, what you were talking about. We always talk about around $800,000 on that carryover. Does that take into account also the movement of the funds from wind farm into the general?
No, that does not.
Okay.
And working cash.
Correct.
Right. Does not include those.
Yeah.
So those alone would help a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, help some.
But the only downside of that is it's a one-time.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Once it's washed, it's gone. Thank you, Carol. Open it up for discussion.
Mr. Chairman,
hey, this is Morgan. I actually had a question for Carol real quick.
Okay.
So we talked about the audit committee in fiscal year 2019. We had passed a deficit budget, but then ended the year in the black just a little bit. I haven't had a chance to go in and get my audit copy. So what was it that, you know, differed so greatly from our budget that allowed us to be in the black that year? Do you have any ideas, Carol?
Okay. Part of it was, I believe, we took in a few more federal prisoners. I know we took in even more this year, but I think last year it increased near the end. Expenses, I mean, everybody's expenses, no one spent their full budget, let's put it that way. So we had savings from almost every office in that respect. That would be a bulk of it. Plus, I think our sales tax receipts were higher than they had been, higher than our budget. And income tax may have been up a little bit, too. So a couple of those crept up a little bit, and therefore we budgeted a little more for this year. But there was enough savings just in expenses and a little bit of revenue increase to wipe it out.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Yoder could answer where we are on our income tax or our property tax versus last year, where we're at kind of as far
Ed,
as people
paying. Would you mind
paying?
Addressing the committee to see, give us some insight of where we're at this year versus last year on income tax or property tax?
Currently this year, we're at $45,588,558. And that's on 7-9 making distribution. Last year, we distributed funds because I have a 30-day window. Last year, I distributed funds on July 21st. It was $83,347,635. So,
give me
right
the,
now
so
there is a,
give me
a difference.
What was this? The
45,
figure on the
580.
45,588. That's on 7-9.
Correct.
Of this year.
So you're telling me we're down $30 million?
We're down some, but we're going to make, well,
37 million.
We're going to have the money there for second distribution. That's end of September. And a little bit of it is due from people not paying. I'm getting a lot of late pays. They are paying, but we are down some.
That's more than some.
Yeah, now this is Jim.
No, I didn't.
That was
wait.
A year. That was if, a year-to-year if, comparison.
If I waited another 2 weeks, I could get a lot of this back up.
8 days difference. Yeah.
On this distribution, but I had so much grief last year about I was a few days past the 30 days, and I was able to have a bigger distribution, so I cut it off quicker this year. I'm going to get out what I got out. And like I said, if I waited still the 15th or 17th, even though we had two holidays in the mix, that distribution would be quite a bit higher.
And what's your thought process of you think it'll come in by September?
September 1's a cutoff, and by the end of September, I can distribute. That's where I can base. That's where I can clean out all the bank accounts, credit unions. At that point, because they are still collecting second installments right now. And on at 7/9, I cannot zero out all the banks and credit unions on that day. I have to leave some money in there. So, and then I'll pick it up second distribution.
I got you.
But that's still be the same as last year, almost apples to apples.
Pretty much, yes.
So it is a $37 million swing.
So, like I said, I could have waited another week or 2 weeks, and this number would have been much higher this time around. But I didn't.
This doesn't make any sense. Does it compute for anybody?
No.
Laura, I think I get what he's saying, if you don't mind.
No, don't mind at all. Maybe you understand.
Is that so the property taxes are continually collected into some sort of account, and then we pull out of it on that particular day whatever was already paid. And so the reason why there's such a discrepancy is he collected everything that was paid up until July 21st last year, but this year he only collected until July 9th, and so obviously it's going to be less. So we aren't necessarily out that money. We just can't access it until September. Is that right? Is that what I'm understanding?
That's what he's saying, but if that's the case, why don't we reconcile at the 21st again then?
Can we do it whenever we want, or can you only do it like once? Once in July.
Right, that's a good question. Why wouldn't we reconcile every month then?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
We're talking 12 days, and we've collected $45 million versus 80-some, so that'd be, in 12 days, we'd bring in...
$37 million.
The figures don't make sense. And understand, you can't drain the accounts, Dr. Zimmerman. That's not the point here. We're talking a huge difference.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, this is Mike Baggett, and what Treasurer Yoder was indicating, I think, at the beginning of his statement is consistent with the property tax code. He's on a rolling 30-day disbursement schedule. After June 1, when the taxes become due and they begin to be collected, he collects them. He is due to pay them out on the first of the month, every month thereafter, whatever he's collected, plus the interest that it has accrued since it was collected to the various taxing bodies that he's collected on behalf of on a pro rata, distribution schedule. So he's not cleaning out, nor is he necessarily waiting until after the second collection in September in order to make a disbursement. Everybody begins relying on these disbursements immediately after the first collection date. So, and I don't think that necessarily answers any of the questions that Mr. Gresham has, but I think it might clarify a little bit about the timing of it in light of what Dr. Zimmerman was talking about a moment ago. Mr. Yoder knows his job better than I do, but this is my understanding of how it's anticipated to work under the statute. You're not indicating that you're holding on to the funds until September. It's just you're not cleaning out the account.
No, I have funds in there.
And you are making your disbursements on that 30-day rolling window.
Yes.
Okay. But I think to Mr. Gresham's point is, based on what you're telling us, if I'm understanding this correctly, as of this year, July 9, we've collected $45.5, almost $0.6 million on behalf of ourselves and everybody else that you collect on behalf of. But this time last year, add 2 weeks, we had collected how much? 84 million?
83.5, yeah.
83.5. Yeah. So what Mr. Jackson, I think Mr. Gresham are indicating is, you know, based on your experience as treasurer, is it typical for a two-week window in July to account for $34 million, $37 million in collections? Or is Macon County, as well as all the taxing bodies you collect on behalf of, looking at a nearly 50% drop-off in property tax revenue in FY21?
Well, I can get you the numbers, what I have in the banks right now, above, after on this 45.6 I took out since July the 9th. I can forward that to the committee tomorrow. I don't have that number in my head right now, what's in the banks currently.
I guess
I can't produce any more than what's there.
Sure. Well, I guess what Mr. Jackson was.
You have no idea at all.
I just said I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I guess what Mr. Jackson was asking.
I can give you numbers tomorrow. I don't have them off the top of my head.
At the beginning was how much has been collected to date. Now, I understand. Yeah. I mean, today's the 13th. You're indicating what you knew as of the 9th.
Correct.
Obviously, people make deposits over the, you know, Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If their banks will take them on Sunday, I don't know. But and obviously today, but. But you're saying as of July 9, that's the money that had been collected,
yes,
by your
correct
office, not necessarily what had been deposited, but what had been collected.
Correct. And that's posted everything, yes. And we posted a lot more funds into the account since the 9th, but that's what we had as of the 9th.
Carol, what would that do to us?
Bankrupt?
I mean, the year's not over
on this.
I mean, we got a long ways to go on this stuff.
I mean, I don't think we have reason to believe that we're not going to collect this stuff, are we? I mean, if taxes are due and owing, I believe that we would be fairly confident we'll collect most of it.
I mean, and this is Mike Baggett, for anyone listening, you know, if the taxes are not collected either at the first collection date or the second collection date, they go on the auction block, and the tax buyer will pay that amount in November at the tax sale. So one way or another, yes, the taxes will ultimately get paid. Now, it may create a cash flow problem, but ultimately I don't think it'll create a budgetary problem.
I guess, this is Carol, I guess the question might be, you know, everything's been posted, but not all the money's been deposited, I think is what part of the question is, and that might be some of the difference. There's probably still checks in the office that haven't been deposited yet.
Could you have that number of what's not been deposited tomorrow also?
I don't have that number with me, but I can find it out.
No, that's what I mean, by tomorrow before.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that kind of goes back, that goes hand in hand with the audit summary, the audit findings from the third party.
Well, since those are recommendations, and I could definitely, if I had three more full-time people, and two full-time, part-time people, I could have everything posted on a daily basis, but unfortunately I can't operate that way. I'm down to three full-time people, and I had a full-time person quit on June the 2nd, right prior to collection dates, and then 2 weeks prior to collection, I have a lot of, when we opened up the county June the 1st, I had a lot of people walking in pay, had a lot of phone calls. So if you're on the phone, you're not posting checks. It's real simple. I don't have the people in there. At one time, there's 14 people worked in the treasurer's office, and that's with computers, even though we have more updated computers now. But I'm down to three and two part-time. So,
hey, Ed, with that being said,
so there are some posted checks. The main thing about the checks we got posted, they're posted on time, so they're not paying, any penalties on the property tax. I just don't have them in the bank, I'm working on that as diligently as I can.
Mr. Yoder, I will just mention that I think the one concern the committee has, and I think more board members not on the committee, is that there is a statute which requires collected funds to be deposited in an interest-bearing account within two business days of their receipt by the treasurer's office. And I understand, short staff, there's only so much work so many people can do. But, you know, I think both as the committee's advisor as well as your legal counsel, I remind you that whatever needs to be done in order to satisfy that obligation,
you do have two business days. Up and I'll just post checks. No walk-ins, no phone calls. I can do that because I don't have the personnel to do it. So we want to keep cutting.
Ed, it's not
my call.
How much of your extra helpline have you used, Mr. Yoder?
I don't have that with me, Kevin, tonight. I know I'm going through it because I don't have just a huge amount in extra help.
I think it's 9,000, isn't it?
9,600 is what was in.
But I don't see how we can ever get this two-day thing in.
Carol, do you know how much is left in his extra helpline?
I don't know how much is left. I could tell you how much was budgeted, but I don't know how much has been used.
9,700 was budgeted. But
okay.
Because I know I had a part-time person come in on the 5th, was on a Friday, as soon as they can get there, and then I had another one come in, I believe it on the 10th of June.
Ed, I understand all that you're saying. But if you follow the audit findings, there's efficiency opportunities within their report. There's duplicate work. There's several different things of duplicate work. But if you just restructured
9,700,
you might have time savings.
Well, there's last 2 years I tried their check scanners from SOI, and then they went to First Med. There's so many exceptions, so many problems. We gave up trying to use check scanners where we could scan all the batches. We can have them directly deposit, but it just wasn't working out. So we tried that, and it just wasn't doable for us.
So the only opportunity is to hire people.
That'd be my suggestion.
Do we have the opportunity to swap office holders around?
I'm sorry?
Can we swap office holders around?
No.
Okay. Just curious.
I mean, I'm not...
somebody in staff to clean it up and then bring them back.
You mean he means staff, I think. Office staff?
Yeah. I mean, you...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I heard office holder.
I did.
You can't switch out elected office holders.
Right. Okay.
Now, staff, yes. You can... you could bring in additional staff from other departments, and yes.
Okay. Any input?
I'm afraid I don't know where we're at.
Well, I say it'll eventually show up, so one way or the other, right, Mr. Baggett?
Well, I mean, what happens in November, any taxpayer who has been delinquent and failed to pay their taxes up to that date, their property goes on the auction block, the taxes are sold. A tax buyer, if the tax buyer sees it as being in the tax buyer's financial interest, will purchase those taxes at the amount due and owing. Any properties that are not desirable by a tax buyer will not be purchased, and those will be taken on by the county as trustee for the individual taxing bodies. So with those properties, and typically those are the types of properties where you're not going to have resale value and very little hope of redemption, then the county takes those, ultimately will attempt to take title to those properties, and no, those tax dollars are lost at that point. So I overstated earlier when I said it doesn't pose a budgetary problem. It's more of a cash flow problem, but it's less of a budgetary problem than it sounds like initially.
Can the taxes be sold if the house is in foreclosure?
Yes. If so long as the property is not a special type of property that isn't subject to taxation, so if it doesn't, if it's not owned by a governmental entity, not for profit, that kind of thing, even if there's a mortgage on the property, then those taxes are due and owing, and that happens not infrequently.
Well, I think Mr. Yoder's going to get us some information, but I don't have any more questions, Mr. Yoder.
Anybody? Thanks, Ed. Yeah. Any discussion on moving forward with a budget?
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, you know, not knowing exactly how this year is going to come around, it's probably not going to be good. But I guess that's why we have some reserves in the general fund, kind of a rainy day fund. But I would recommend that based on the what we budgeted for this year, and hopefully, all the way, you know, the way this virus thing is going, it's not real promising that we'll get through this thing by the start of the next fiscal year. So I would say, as a starting point, with these figures that that the auditor has given us, that we start with, on the basis that the office holders come in with a 4% reduction in the general fund expenses. And I would also add to that, I hope, you know, I don't want layoffs, but if that's what it has to be, but I would hope that we could somehow work through this and not have to do that, but. That's you know, that's basically the $700,000 deficit,
correct,
that we budgeted
about a
this year.
To break even. Yeah. That's correct. And I'd further like to add that Mrs. Zimmerman's proposal, the amendment we passed, that we would go month to month to correct the budgets. We'd still have to go with that, and that's going to drive it all in a sense.
Well, there's nothing that would prohibit the committee or the board from going into FY21 with the same, dynamic that it has going right now. You know, you can draft a budget and adopt it, and you know, on an ongoing basis due to the pandemic situation and potential declining revenues, make adjustments on a voluntary basis on month by month. And allow the office holders the discretion and the authority to make the cuts where they can as appropriate and as available. And then if it doesn't work and you find yourself running into a brick wall, then the board always has the authority to take drastic action at that point.
I think we need to do that for sure. But I agree with Jim. We just ask them for the 4%, that's for the 21 budget. They need to continue with the monthly savings.
I'd further add that we're not going to get 4%. We already know after our March and April meetings, there's some departments that can't do 4%. But the 20% where the 80% of the money is, it's possible.
I think your point's well taken, Mr. Jackson.
Yeah.
Some of these it's going to be
right.
Hard.
They can't give anything.
But there's others that might be able to do more.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that's right. So.
Yep. Carol.
I would have one question. Does this apply just to the general fund then? I just want to be specific so we can plan. Or does it apply to everybody?
Do you have a crystal ball that says we need to worry about the other? And I'm going to say you're probably right.
I mean, I don't know.
Mr. Gresham.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest that, you know, we obviously, as you look at the budget we put together last year, there's a $2.8 million deficit. Probably half of that or more is highway. So that's, you know, different story. But I think what would need to be required to be done is, like, if we used those figures, Carol, to look ahead, those funds that money is coming from, what their balance is going to be like in terms of sustaining that. And perhaps it would have to be more than 4%. But my suggestion was that general fund.
Correct.
But knowing that we have to use other funds, you know, what kind of a balance do they have to, if going forward, if we did this for the next 2 or 3 years or whatever, you know, then we got another problem.
I'd like to see something different on the process in general. It's usually when we do, even like the where Mr. Greenfield put out a option to do we want to stop the traditional process of the oversight, then the final for finance. And I think unanimously the people said that they want to do it one time. I would like to see it broke out between general and state funding, if that's possible, because it's a big disparity on what we can control and what we can't control. Is that possible?
For the most part, it's kind of done that way now.
Yeah, I know, but usually when they talk about it, most people don't understand that
right.
Yeah, this is earmarked fund. This isn't general fund.
Right. We could probably gather those together or point them out as they come up. But generally, a grant or something has its own account.
Correct. Right. And that came to me because when you see people respond back in the county board and you see, well, my vote won't count, your vote doesn't count anyway until the end when you vote the budget in play. But at least you'd have, most of them don't, unless you sit in all the meetings, you don't have any idea what a lot of the fund balances are, accounts. Mm-hmm. Just simplify it.
Make the call.
We weren't going to vote on anything, were we?
No.
No.
That's right.
No. No. I mean, just make the decision.
Yeah.
I mean, the letter goes out from the chairman.
That's right. Be 4%.
I think historically it's come, the last couple of years, I think it's come from both the chairman of the board and the mm-hmm. chairman of finance. But this was just more of a study
chairman?
Session.
No, I think it's a start, you know.
Any comments from the phone group?
No, I just the only thing, I mean, I would say is, you know, we just have to be prepared for the fact that some departments aren't going to be able to do the 4%. I think Jim mentioned that. I just wanted to echo that. The other thing, I think maybe can we say either a 4% reduction in expenses or an increase in revenue to off, you know, of the same amount, you know, just so the savings are the same. Maybe they have other options rather than just reducing expenses.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think historically that's been when the offices have been asked to make cuts. That's always been the way it's been directed is it's net expenses. I may be screwing up the lingo, but
projected revenue, yeah.
Right. But, if you can bring in more revenue, then that helps offset what you need to cut.
And the sheriff's office was a good example of that.
Right.
Yep. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, before you move on, we skipped over item 3, citizens' remarks. Didn't know if we want to make sure we circle back to that before we move on with any adjournment.
Sure will. Can you send us his remarks?
Jeannie, were there any received by email? No? Okay.
Without that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.